Blog Talk Radio.
You are now connected to the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Taking on 2,000 years of indoctrination, 2 hours at a time.
Sink or swim, deep end information.
Asking questions no one else will.
Parabiblical research, spiritual technology, personal empowerment.
Be your own guru.
Master your own ascension.
Guide your own spirit.
And now, showing you how, the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Good morning. This is Jeffrey Dardy, and have no fear. I know the introduction says 2 hours at a time, but that's referring to our regular weekly show, which does come up tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, goes till 11 p.m. Eastern, and of course, that's the East Coast. The West Coast would be, 6 p.m. Eastern. To 8 p.m. Eastern. That is being broadcast on another network, as they say, so we don't want to talk about that here at this point or at this time, but please check my website, jeffreydardy.com, christianwhistleblower.com, and you can get more information about the weekly Christian Whistleblower Show, which is 2 hours in length, and it is tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, and that's actually 6 p.m. Pacific, and we go for 2 hours. So we welcome you to be a part of that. And this Fresh Daily Show, I brought to you by Fresh Daily Co., which is a gourmet coffee and skateboard company. It's located in Auburn, California, and they have a great website at freshdailyco.com. And I'm drinking my Fresh Daily coffee even as we speak here during the Fresh Daily Show. So what we do here is every day about this time, we take a half an hour, and we go through basically what the Christian Whistleblower Show goes through. But now we're a couple of months in arrears because the Christian Whistleblower Show started a couple of months ago, and we're starting where we started then. We're starting there now here, and it's actually very therapeutic for me. And I hope it's very good for you because it allows me to go back and look at things that I talked about a couple, 3 months ago. And believe it or not, folks, the way this works, at least with me, is it's an ongoing process of research and discovery. And, you know, I used to be a hockey player. I used to play hockey a couple times a week. A martial artist used to do that 3 or 4 times a week. Had a couple of injuries, but really used to date and things like that. But now people ask me, what do I do for fun? What are my hobbies? And really, research, study, writing, broadcasting, this type of stuff really are my hobbies. And I know that sounds a little bit crazy or weird, but it really has gotten to the point where it is what I like to do. It is my hobby. And so that being the case, as I study and study and study, and I study and write and produce these type of programs, you know, at least 2, 3, 4 hours every single day. So I'm constantly studying, constantly meditating, constantly pondering, constantly writing. And let me tell you something, in 3 months' time, it's not unlikely or unusual that things change or I learn or discover new and deeper truths about that which I've been talking about. So the Christian Whistleblower Show is a great resource, and the Fresh Daily Show is also a great resource. Number one, if you don't have 2 hours to sit and listen to a show at a stretch, you can listen to it in smaller bite-sized pieces right here. This is able to get us on the great deprogrammed radio network operating out of the UK, and it allows us to review and to bring in more truth and more, you know, I say truth, but to bring in more consideration for you. So, you know, that's one of the, some of the reasons why this is such a great idea and why we're looking forward to keeping it going. And, you know, we talk to an international audience and we always talk about Religion Watch Daily. Today, unfortunately, a lot of what we're talking about on Religion Watch Daily is directed towards the United States. And I just want to start with, you know, Westboro Baptist, they said they were going to go to the Middle East to protest Islam. I thought if they actually completed that trip, it might take care of them and eliminate them as a pain and an issue here in the United States. But evidently not all of them went, because Westboro Baptist is planning to protest the funerals of the Charleston shooting victims. So these idiots have vowed to protest the funerals of the victims of the shooting at the historic Emmanuel AME, which stands for African Methodist Episcopal Church, in Charleston, South Carolina. Obviously the last thing that the families need or the community needs or we need. And then, you know, Pope Francis weighs in, obviously, somewhat at least, in response to, you know, the situation going on here in the United States. And he says that you're not a Christian if you have guns or support people that make guns, of course, by buying handguns. So Pope Francis spoke, made these comments, and he spoke to a rally of young people, thousands of them, in his trip to the Italian city of Turin, which he also prayed before the Shroud of Turin, by the way, which is kind of interesting because it's almost universally believed that that's a fake, a fraud, and a phony. And, of course, there's the Pope, which many argue is a fake, a fraud, and a phony, you know, praying before the Shroud of Turin. And Francis soundly attacked the right to keep and bear arms. And, of course, that has a lot of supporters here in the United States. And the KKK weigh in. The KKK leader disputes the hate group label and says, hey, we're a Christian organization. Now, of course, there's a lot of KKKs. It's really a splinter. The organization is splintered into many, many factions. And the leader of the traditionalist American Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, I have no idea how small or large that is, he's tired of a few rogue Klansmen ruining the group's reputation and argues that the group is a nonviolent Christian organization. Well, I would have to question the nonviolent part, but I may go along with them on the Christian part. In fact, I may have to say that the KKK is a thoroughly Christian organization empowered by the spirit of he who the Christians call God and carrying out really the work of he who the Christians call God. If you listen to some of our YouTube or our past Christian Whistleblower shows or stay with us over the days and weeks to come, you'll come to know exactly what I mean by that, and it's not what you think I mean by that. And then 91 times black churches have been violently attacked. When Dylan Roof opened fire at the Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, it was an act of terror of the kind that happens, in the opinion of this writer, too often in black houses of worship. Now, 91 times, I believe, since 1956, the article said, black churches have been violently attacked. And as I read this, I wonder how many times since 1956 have white churches or houses of worship been violently attacked. But at any rate, 91 times churches have been violently attacked. And now there's a new movement that says here in another story, pastors and faithful pick up gun training, saying we need it in church. For 7 years, this guy, he's an owner instructor at a shooting range, has been teaching his fellow church members how to use guns. He says his interest in his class has been growing among the faithful as they feel a need to be prepared in the case of attack. And I can't help but believe in the United States that know, even though we had our first black president, which even though I don't support the guy, I had to feel pretty good about what that said about the country. Now, either there's still a huge racial problem in the United States, or people want us to believe there's still a huge racial problem in the United States, or there is a faction or a power that wants there to continue to be a huge racial problem in the United States. And, you know, I'm no rocket scientist. I'm a Bible college graduate, not a math major. But when the black population in the United States is somewhere around 15, 16, 17, 18% of the population of the entire country, and they make up over 80% of the population of the prisons of the United States of America, I have to believe that there's a problem there somewhere. Now, whether what the problem is open to debate, and I often wonder, with a lot of these prisons being now for profit, play into it. But there's obviously something going on, and there's questions that need to be asked and answered. And frankly, I'm very, very disappointed at the first black president of the United States that he has not done anything that I can see, and I happen to follow the news rather closely, to address this issue of 80% of the prison population being black and only 18, 19% at the most of the general population being black. Questions need to be asked and answered as to why that is. But I think the main thing to understand and to see is that there are groups, both human and non-human, in my opinion, who have a vested interest in keeping us as people fighting and attacking and going at each other's throats. There is a group of people and entities that is well served by keeping fear, keeping hatred, and keeping battle and violence going on as wide a scale as possible. And that is kind of our segue into our work today, a bit more time than usual in the Religion Watch daily portion of the program, but that's okay. Now, I want to start talking today about the strange new world of Paul. And we talked yesterday about how Paul literally, historically, and unquestionably created a new religion, and the forces of Paul have worked and have successfully created and perpetuated a new timeline, an alternate timeline to the one that is real. And I want to give you a Bible verse that kind of talks about, it actually pinpoints exactly what we're talking about. And it's John chapter 6, verse 63. And it says, and this is Yeshua, or Jesus, speaking. And he says, "The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." He said, the flesh profits nothing. And in the Greek, there's a thing called the definite article, which, you know, points in this case to divinity. And what Jesus, and it makes things very specific. So what Yeshua is really saying is, my flesh profits nothing. And that profits nothing in the Greek means is worthless. So what Yeshua is saying, what Jesus, if that's what you want to call him, is saying, is that my flesh, my body, and here I'm giving you a literal rendering of the Greek word, my body and that which has happened to it is, in the words of Yeshua, something that profits nothing. So what he's saying in very plain terms is, my body and the things that surround it and the facts that surround it is worthless, has nothing to do with anything, is really, in the words of Yeshua, not worth even looking at or studying. And then he contrasts it and says, the words that I speak, or my message is spirit. My message is life. So what Yeshua is saying in very plain terms is, the things about my body aren't that important, aren't worth being discussed, and aren't really all that helpful. But the message that I spoke, that is spiritual, and that brings life. And that's really the great divide right there. That's really the core of just about everything we teach, and it's the core of everything that big-time religion or Pauline Christianity teaches. Because Yeshua said, look, forget about my body and the things that relate to it. Focus on my message. Yeshua says, focus on my message. But Pauline Christianity almost exclusively focuses on his body, the body of the guy they call Jesus, and the things about that body. Think about it. One of the big things about Pauline Christianity, where Jesus was born, who was there when Jesus was born. Think about it. The manger scenes that you see every single Christmas and all of the preaching you hear about Jesus born in the manger, wise men, angels, cattle lowing, Joseph, Mary, no room at the inn, that whole thing. That's about his body. And Yeshua said, hey, that stuff doesn't matter. It's worthless. Can you believe it? Yeshua says, hey, look, man, when I was born, where I was born, even if I was born, doesn't matter a bit. That's the words of Yeshua. Then you move on to one of the other big things about Christianity, you know, his baptism, his crucifixion. That has to do with the body. Yeshua says, hey, you know, this crucifixion, whether it happened, when it happened, where it happened, if it happened, doesn't matter. No big deal. Jeffrey, are you saying that the birth of Christ and the crucifixion of Christ are no big deals, don't matter? I didn't say it. Yeshua said it. And then, of course, you got the resurrection. Then, of course, you got the purported second coming. And we've just about covered the gamut of Christianity, Pauline Christianity, in those few aspects of the body of Yeshua. And he says, forget about my body. See, folks, that's the gospel about Jesus. When he was born, where he was born, when he died, how he died, when he resurrected, how he resurrected, when he's coming back again. That's basically Pauline Christianity. Yeshua says none of that matters, and I say most of that is bogus anyway. That's the gospel about Jesus. But Yeshua wants us to pay attention to the gospel or the message of Yeshua. Forget about when he was born. Forget about how he died. Forget about if he resurrected. Forget about if he's coming back. Because in the words of Yeshua, not Jeffrey, he said, doesn't matter. Pay attention, rather, to my message. Pay attention to the things I said, because my message, he said, not my body, my message is spirit, my message is life. Wow, that is a monumental shift and change in paradigm and perspective, and it's a difference between religion and spirituality. It's a difference between Pauline religion and the message of Yeshua. It's the difference between the gospel about Jesus and the gospel and message of Yeshua. Christianity focuses almost exclusively on what Yeshua said was worthless. Folks, they even eat his flesh. They even drink his blood. And you Protestants out there, don't get all uppity and say, oh, that's just the Catholic pagans. No. What do you guys call communion? It's the same thing. It calls back to the same experience. And Christianity constantly works to keep the flesh of Jesus as the center of its message and the flesh of Jesus in the forefront of your mind. When Yeshua said, my flesh doesn't matter, focus on my message. Why? Because Yeshua's message was the pinnacle of human spirituality, in my opinion. Yeshua said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Whoever comes to me has life and life more abundant. Now, he didn't mean I'm the only way. He didn't mean I've got the only truth. And he didn't mean I've got the only way to life. What he meant was, I am the way. In other words, my way is the compilation of all the greatest of human spirituality. My truth is the compilation of all the greatest of human truth. And when you incorporate this way of all the greatest ways of human spirituality, and you incorporate these truths of all the greatest truths of human spirituality, by doing that, you find yourself living life, and a life that Yeshua said is more abundant, all by focusing on the spirit, the words, the life of the message of Yeshua, and forgetting about the flesh message of big time Christianity. It's very, very interesting when you think about these things and when you ponder these things. And Christianity, as you look at it objectively, Christianity and big time religion has it absolutely wrong. They're focusing on the things that Yeshua said are worthless, and folks, they do it for a reason. The purpose of big-time religion, be it Catholic, be it Protestant, be it Jewish, be it Islam, the purpose of big-time religion is to keep you distracted, to keep you diverted, and to keep you deluded from the real message of the man from Nazareth. I call him Yeshua. You might still call him Jesus, but that's the real purpose of big-time religion, to keep you deluded, to keep you distracted from the real message. The purpose of big-time religion is to keep you focused on the flesh of Yeshua and the things about his flesh, to keep you focused on that which Yeshua said was worthless, lest you discover his words and his message, which are life-giving, and lead you out of the need for that which big-time religion offers to you. Big-time religion says, hey, you're a dirty, rotten sinner, born with and filled with sin from the beginning, and unless you come to us, the guys that have the truth, and it is the guys almost exclusively, no gals allowed, unless you come to us, the guys that have the truth, and do what we say, where we say, when we say, how we say, and how much we say, without question, well, you're going to wind up in this place called hell, burning forever, and you're not going to get to this place called heaven, where you can sit on a cloud and play a harp all day long. They want to keep you inside that world. It's called the Matrix. It's a unreal world. It's a world that is a prison for you. And they want to keep you focused on all that, because once you discover the good news of the gospel, once you discover the message of Yeshua, which is you are not born with sin, but you have the spark of divinity within you. And by incorporating and following and making your life the ways and the truths that Yeshua's message, those things that are spiritual, those things that are life-giving, you can have life and life more abundant. It's up to you. You can follow big-time religion, the gospel about Jesus, the flesh-based, eat my flesh, drink my blood gospel, Jesus, or you can follow the message of Yeshua that reminds you that you're not filled with sin. You've got the spark of divinity within, which shows you the best of all the ways of human spirituality from time immemorial and maybe beyond, which shows you all the greatest truths of human spirituality from time immemorial and maybe beyond, and allows you, by employing those things in your life, to have life and life more abundantly. Paul and Jesus is the religion of original sin. The message of Yeshua is that you've got the kingdom of heaven within, the spark of divinity within you. Paul, big time religion, Christianity, Protestantism, Islam, Judaism, it's all about fear and guilt and control. With the message of Yeshua, it's about realization, development, and empowerment. And coming back real quickly to where we left off yesterday about the New Testament books, put yourself in AD 47, 48, 49. You've listened to the message of Yeshua for about 3 or 4 years, from the mid-30s to the late-30s. Then you listen to the message of James and Peter, the original apostles, for another, you know, 6, 8 years. Now this guy, Paul, is coming up and talking. So here it is, AD 47, and all of a sudden you get this message, this letter from James, the guy that Yeshua put in charge when he left, however you think he left. And James gives you this letter. You read this letter, you know it comes from the very apostle that Yeshua appointed. You read that letter, you understand that letter, and you think, oh, wow, this is good stuff. Then you get another letter, and another letter, and another letter, 26 more of them, all purporting to be of the same worth and value and inspiration that James' letter was. Now, letter number 2, when you read it, aren't you going to read it in view of what letter number 1 or the one from James said? And letter number 3, aren't you going to read it in view of letters 1 and 2? Letter 4, aren't you going to read it in view of letters 1, 2, and 3? Of course you are. That's how the real revelation and development of doctrine in the new church was carried out. The letters were delivered in chronological order. Each succeeding letter was viewed through the lens of the preceding letter. Had to agree with it, had to be in harmony with it, had to understand it. And that's how you get an accurate view of the flow of the development of doctrine in the early church. And yet, we've been robbed of this ability. This ability has been hidden from us by the jumbling of the New Testament books into a order that is nonsensical and created only to create a warped and distorted timeline. You absolutely, positively have to read the books of the New Testament in their chronological order, and you will know what I'm talking about. I released a Diamond New Testament, which does present them in the chronological new order, or new order in the New Testament, or you can go online and you can look up when were the New Testament books written, write it down on a paper, and then you'll know how to read them in order. But what they're really trying to prevent is, I'm going to leave this for your homework, in the first chapter of the book of John, there's a verse that says, Yeshua came to enlighten every man and woman that comes onto the earth. Thomas Jefferson wrote about the Apostle Paul that he's the first great corrupter of the doctrines of Christ, and that the New Testament in its present order is really a bunch of dung with a few diamonds sprinkled within. And what we're all about is helping you find the diamonds amongst the dung. That's what the Christian Whistleblower is about. That's what the Fresh Daily Show is about. You can find me at jeffreydaugherty.com, christianwhistleblower.com, and we'll be back here tomorrow, same bad time, same bad channel, to talk more about these life-changing truths. And until then, this is Jeffrey Daugherty reminding you and wishing you peace and light.
Stay connected with the Christian Whistleblower at www.christianwhistleblower.com. On Facebook, follow Jeffrey Daugherty and Jeffrey Daugherty Show, and on Twitter at NC Kabbalah. Visit christianwhistleblower.com today to learn how to create yourself and to live the life you'll love.